Good morning. Please have a seat. Wow, I sound different with this thing on. It's a different, there's a deepness in my voice. I could sell you something now. Take this opportunity to welcome us all to this time of worship. I am Michael Mugford. I am the honor of being in ministry here at Cole Harbor Woodside. And if you are visiting with us, a very warm welcome to you. We're so glad you are here with us worshiping this morning. And we do invite you to leave a record of your visit with us. We have a book just outside the entryway of the sanctuary. Following the service, there is a time of fellowship, coffee and such, just in the hall. When you go out, turn left and keep following your way out to the hall. There's coffee and some sweets and some great conversation. If you are visiting and at the offering time of the service you would like to leave an offering, there is certainly no requirement that you do so. But if you would like to, we have visitor envelopes in the pews, and we invite you to use those, fill them out, let us know you've been here, because we'd love to say thanks for coming and being a part of our worship here this morning. And if you are looking for a place that you would like to call your church home, do come and see us and let us know, and we can give you a little bit more information about Cole Harbor Woodside and the wonderful ministry and the people that work and share their lives here. So as we gather, I invite us to next screen. Share in the words of the acknowledgement of place. The sound booth is updating. So as we seek to work to live in right relations with Indigenous peoples in this community, we have been sharing over the last year and a bit words of the acknowledgement of place. And so I invite us to share these words together. For thousands of years, First Nations people have walked on this land. Their relationship with the land is at the center of their lives and spirituality. Through mutuality of the Peace and Friendship Treaty, we gather on the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people, and we acknowledge that their place on their land is protected throughout the ages. And we are a community of faith that gathers in the name of Christ, and it is Christ's light that we bear, and so we light this candle to remind us that Christ is here and within each and every one of us. We light a candle of peace as a way of renewing our commitment to be peacemakers, peace bringers to those places in our world, to those relationships that we share. And we light a candle to honor those who serve in our armed forces, the various different branches of our armed forces, armed services, who place themselves in harm's way, that they might bring peace to different places around our world. We honor those who are first responders, who are there when we need them most, those who staff our emergency rooms and hospitals, who look after us when we are at our most vulnerable, and we honor and thank them for their ministries. Let us share together in the singing of our introit.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
is right to give God thanks and praise.
Thank you very much. Okay, careful stepping down. Thank you, ladies. Let us share together in the words of our opening prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for all the ways that you illuminate our lives, from the beam of your wisdom that shines forth from scripture and prayer to the occasional mountaintop experiences where we can bask in your glory, in the sparkle of care in our loved ones' eyes, to the bright smile of greeting from a stranger. Your love radiates out to us. Set us aglow for others with your wisdom, love, and glory. Amen. And our opening hymn, 341 in the Voices United, Fairest Lord Jesus.
Our responsive reading this morning is Psalm 50, found in page 775 of Voices United. God the Almighty has spoken. God shines out from Zion, a city perfect in beauty.
Our God hears and will not keep silence.
Before you, God, runs a consuming fire, and a mighty tempest rages about you.
You call on the heavens above and on the earth below to witness the judgment of your people.
Gather my people before me, the people who made covenant with me by sacrifice.
The heavens proclaim your justice, for you
And the Old Testament lesson this week is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
If the children who are here this morning would like to come forward. Jack decided to come out this morning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, this one is he just likes to sit right there. Jack and I were talking this morning, and we were wondering, yes, I'm going to tell them that. I am. No, I'm going to tell them what we were talking about this morning. He's kind of shy. Stop. Jack was asking me why things change. And I said, because things change. That's the best answer I could come up with. And I said, maybe when the children get here this morning, maybe they can help us understand why things change. Do you know why things change? Ah, very good. Yeah, Jack likes that answer. Yeah. I told you the children here are very smart. What about you? Why do you think things change? We get changes to different years. That's right. That's right. So that helps us know how the seasons of the year are going, how old we are. If we didn't change the years, we would never know how old we were, are we? Right? Yeah. Ah, right. So if you're getting ready in the next, hopefully, month or so to start getting your garden ready, you need to start changing things. Why else do we think things change? Plants grow that change. In the spring, this time of year, they're all very quiet. We don't see a whole lot of leaves on the trees. But in a few weeks, I think we'll probably start to see some buds on the trees. And then there'll be worms in the ground. They'll start to come out. The leaves will come out. Yeah, yeah. And then they'll be beautiful. Jack really likes the summertime when all the leaves are green. Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. Because in the summertime you can go out and play. Yeah, and it's not cold. You don't need a big heavy jacket like that, eh? Yeah, it's awesome, isn't it? Jack's favorite time is the summertime. But then, bikes and scooters, swimming. Yeah. Play baseball or soccer. Skateboards, yeah. But what happens then? Well, what happens then? Fall. Oh. Well, that's true, isn't it, Jaxie? I told you there could be good things about fall. Oh, so you get to jump in the leaves. They look really pretty, don't they? Yeah. 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 Yeah, see, even winter's not too bad. No, I don't think we convinced Jack at all that winter's not bad. So things change all around us, don't they? Snowmen are fun. I have seen a change in a lot of you over the last year and a half or so that I've been here. I've seen you get bigger. Some people have gotten taller. Some people's hair got longer. Some people's hair got shorter. Like yours. Did How many of you started school this year? Are you going to start school this year? So that'd be a big change. Are you going to start school next year? How many of you started school this year too? Yeah. Yeah. James, yeah. Yeah. So things change all the time. Yeah. So change is not a scary thing if we understand that it's happening all around us. Well, today, one of the Bible story that we're going to hear from the gospel is Jesus and his followers. They go up a mountain, and Jesus changes. The Bible's going to tell us that he becomes white as light, bright, shining, reflecting, kind of like a mirror, just glowing so they could barely look at him. Yeah? The seasons change, warm and cold. But the disciples were so surprised, they didn't know what to do. Right? So sometimes, even for grown-ups, change is a hard thing. But Jesus tells them to not worry about it, but to trust in God. Can we trust in God when we see change around us? We sure can. God walks with us through all kinds of change, whether we move from our homes into a new home, or whether we start a new school, or if we change the way we look. Well, it's change. Jack knows what changes. He just doesn't like it. Yeah. Change is different, isn't it? Lots of people don't like change. So we... Did you? See, now, so change can be a good thing. We get to meet new people, Jack. If we hadn't come here and changed from where we were, we wouldn't get to know any of these children, would we? Oh. So Jack seems to think that's a pretty good thing, that we came here and we changed and we got to know each and every one of you. And that we trusted in God that when we came here, things would be okay, right? Even in the big changes. Let's have a little prayer. You can say it after me. Thank you, God, for the things that change in our world, for the change of seasons, for the change of years, and the changes in each one of us. Help us to find you in all the changes around us. So, one of the places we find God is in music. And one of my favorite songs is Over My Head. You guys like Over My Head? I hear music in the air. This is a stand-up, waving our arms around kind of song. So we're going to stand up and we're going to sing Voices United 88, Over My Head. Woo! All right? Very good. Here we go. Over My Head.
Songs of life are
you very much. We'll do it again. That way you'll help continue learning, okay? And there's children's programming for folks this morning. Good to see you.
The gospel lesson this morning is from Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9, and it's the story of the transfiguration. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. The coming of Elijah. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead.
Thank you.
Pause with me for a moment of prayer. Holy One, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be inspired by you, our God, our rock, and our strength. Amen. It's the end of the season of Epiphany. We're moving this week from Epiphany into Lent. There is change. We've been following Jesus and his disciples for the last number of weeks as they have come to know who Jesus is. They've been slowly following him. They've been slowly opening their eyes. They've been slowly getting a sense of just who this guy is and why it is they think they might want to follow him. And the reading from Mark's gospel this morning leads us into what Bruce Epperly calls, he says, it invites us to sail into the mystic. Now, in the United Church of Canada, we don't do a whole lot of mysticism. We're pretty grounded people here in Canada. We like to know what's going on. We like to be able to touch things and know that they are solid, that they're real. But in this experience on the mountaintop, Jesus' followers get to go up onto this mountain. Mountains are amazing places. They're holy places. Many of the world's religions use holy high places to describe the ways in which we as human beings can touch the ethereal, touch the divine. The worldview, of course, was that we were down here on the ground and God or the gods were up there. So if we went up the mountain, we would be closer to God or to the gods. The Transfiguration invites us into a thin place. Thank you, Reverend Ivan Gregan. Ivan would come to the church I was serving in the valley once a year and do a service of Celtic spirituality. And in Celtic spirituality, thin places are very important. They're those places where the realm that we know that's on this side and the realm that we can't see on this side are very close. Almost so close that we can touch, we can reach beyond that which we know, that which we feel. Into those places that are deeply, deeply holy, deeply spiritual. And so the Transfiguration is one of those moments. It invites us to a thin place where God is so tangible and real, one could reach out and touch the very hand or face of the divine. Now, there are good reasons why we need to transition from one time into another. As I shared with the children this morning, we need to mark the ways in which the world around us changes. We need those thin moments, those holy moments, to help us recognize the trueness of the journey that we're on. Like the followers of Jesus, we're challenged. Challenged to always be following, to always be paying attention, and when those moments occur, to recognize those thin, thin places. And so that's what the closer of Epiphany is for us today. That's the moment, if you will come to the 7 o'clock Ash Wednesday service, that's the thin moment that will move us into the season of Lent. They are the places in which the experience of God's realm is made real for us as individuals. Throughout the course of Mark's gospel, the author of Mark has been leading us down this journey, this slow revelation of a messianic secret, the theologians at Atlanta School of Theology taught me many years ago. This messianic secret. Every time we turn around and somebody recognizes Jesus, he tells them, don't tell anybody. It's a secret. And it slowly gets revealed throughout the course of the gospel. So at the very beginning of the gospel, we have Jesus being baptized. And we hear the voice of God, but only the readers hear the voice of God saying, "You are my son, the beloved. I'm pleased with you." And so then today, Peter, James, and John are up the mountaintop with Jesus, and they, but just they, none of the other disciples, just those three get to hear the voice of God again in this thin place saying, "This is my son. Listen to him." And then on Good Friday, foreshadowing a little bit here, it's not the disciples. It's not those who have been following Jesus all along. As Jesus is on the cross, it is a Roman soldier who enters into that thin place and says, "Truly this man was the Son of God." And when I read that this week, I went, "Wow, how did I miss that? I've been reading Mark's gospel for years. How did I miss those three things?" Those three thin moments that move the reader through the Gospel of Mark from one thin place and experience to another. I have to say, I really appreciated hearing that perspective this week. And so it made me wonder, what is the transfiguration? Because my logical brain wants to explain it. I want to know, I want to be able to tell someone if they come to my office and say, "Michael, we read this week in church and I don't understand it. What on earth was happening with the transfiguration?" I have this desire, I want to explain things to people. It's the teacher in me. It's the parent in me. How many times have we wanted to be able to explain things to our children or to the people that that come to us looking for advice, for information? But it was Brian McLaren, a modern theologian out of California, who said, "You know what? That's a trap. That's a trap that we get sucked into, that we don't need to understand. We don't need to explain. We need to experience transfiguration. We need to experience those thin places. We need to step outside of ourselves, out of our rational selves, every once in a while, and just experience the thinness in our encounters with God. The thinness. The thinness that happens maybe for some at communion. The thinness that happens for some maybe as they watch a baptism. The thinness of the beginning of life. How many of us have felt the thinness of God there when we've watched or experienced a new birth? The thinness at the end of life, where God is so close, we can touch. In the Protestant church, we have lost so much of our mystical and mysticism. And it's only just now we're starting to begin to understand that that's a part of who we are that we need to regain. We need to spend some time thinking about, what does it mean for us to accept the mystical? And I'm not saying we need to go out and get rocks and crystals and hang them if that's not our thing, but we do need to recognize that there is a very closeness to the Spirit of God. The reality is, according to a survey in the Globe and Mail, half of the church population admits to having mystical experiences of God. 50%. Those are the 50% that will admit it anyway. Unexplained moments of a spiritual nature that we can't explain, but leave us feeling strangely warmed, strangely touched, strangely comforted in those ways in which we are needing and we are looking. We need to be reminded that although it's wonderful to be able to read our scriptures and to think about the story of the transfiguration and Peter, James, and John going up the mountain and Jesus all of a sudden glowing, it's wonderful to read those stories. They inspire us. don't always need to take them literally. We need to take them spiritually as well. We need to recognize that a moment like the Transfiguration points to a dramatic experience of who God is, God's transforming and transfiguring presence, not just on the mountaintop that day, but in each and every one of us. It inspires us, moves us forward. It moves us deeper into God. We in modern Canada, I think, need to lift that veil of proof, of tangibility, of literalism, and we need to see the world for what it is. The world is lively. The world's energetic. The world is spiritually charged because it finds its source in God. I leave you with the words of Elizabeth Barrett Browning, who writes, "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees it takes off his shoes. The rest sit round it and pluck blackberries." The earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. This place is full of heaven, crammed full with heaven, crammed full with God. We are called to take off our shoes and experience God's presence in the transfiguration moments of our lives. Amen. There are many, many things happening in our community. There are those who would wish to share announcements about them. I just want to begin by saying a word of thanks to members of the worship committee who last week led service. It was greatly appreciated that they stepped in to do so. I want to invite folks following the service upstairs to the meeting room. A month or so ago, we had some conversation around reconciliation and what that looks like, what that might look like here in our community, and we're having a follow-up conversation, a further conversation this after service this morning in the meeting room. Just as I said during the sermon, reminder of Ash Wednesday on Wednesday evening at 7 in the chapel, and we will be meeting at Parkland on Thursday, not the normal Wednesday that we normally do, but Thursday at 2 o'clock for worship there, and anyone who would like to come and be a part of that worship is more than welcome.
As you know, in 3 days' time, it will be the middle of this month, and within another 30 days, it's time to have your orders in for your maple syrup. and it's time to get it together and get it on, because next thing, spring will be here, it'll be running, and someone will say, I didn't know you were selling maple syrup. So please get your orders in. I don't have enough in yet, or even get your orders ready, because I can't wait till the last day of March, because that's when the maple syrup could be here. It could be here the week before. So please get them in as quick as you can, please. I'll be out there today taking orders. Thank you.
Just two quick reminders for this week. Friday, February 16th, for all the grade 2s through 5s, is the next meeting of the junior youth group. If you know any kids that are in that age group that haven't yet joined, we would love to see them come out. This Friday, we will be discussing the theme of love. The next reminder is for the following day, Saturday the 17th at 6:30 in the hall, we'll be having a family dance. All are welcome. And if that's not enticing enough, we will be handing out prizes for those dancers amongst us. So please come join us. We would love to see you there. Thank you.
Does everybody like a good mystery? Will you help me solve one? I don't know if you recall, but last July, I pulled the clivia plant over here. It had three gorgeous blooms on it. And Eva McKay took a photograph, or two, or three, and then I had it framed. Brought it in. It was out on the table in the hall. I'm sure everybody kind of noticed it, or maybe not. And then it got hung on the wall right there by the door for, I'd say, about 1 or 2 weeks. Now it is missing, not ever to be seen again. So somebody must know something about this mystery. And it has been driving me crazy because I saw it in December. It's now February. Where is it? Does anybody know? Can anybody help me? Ooh. I would be really grateful if you'd come and say something to me to get this off my mind, because it's driving me a little bit crazy. Thank you.
Many of you will remember Helen and Harvey Waddell, who, when Helen was a student here and Harvey was a minister, and they ministered everywhere, and they were fantastic. They're now living in Victoria, BC, and in March will be celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. A friend of theirs in BC has contacted me to see if we would like to send greetings, individual greetings, or if you have photos or anything you'd like to send. They're putting together a memory book for them. From what I've been told, Harvey would like to invite about 10 people to the party. Helen wants to invite the entire world. So there is a box in the narthex. There are, if you want to bring in a card or bring something with you, if you're like me and continuously forget, I have put paper there and there's pen, so you can sign a little card and pop it into the box, because they'd love to hear from everybody.
Hi. The junior choir is going to be starting right after church today. If you guys have any children in grades 1 and up who want to try singing, I'm going to sneak up to near the end of Sunday school and just ask anybody who wants to come try it out to come see. It'll be a short rehearsal tonight, and then it'll be every second weekend following church for 30 minutes of singing.
We have one more. Sit down, Roger. It's my turn. Today I come before you to stand behind you to talk about Wednesday, which is Valentine's Day. And men, as you know, in the past, we have invited the ladies to join us for lunch at Fong's at 12 o'clock. I've already secured my date, so you fellows make up your mind, your wife or your girlfriend, but not both. And we'll see you there at 12 o'clock. And this is open to all ladies if they want to come in, whether escorted or not, you know, we'll be glad to accommodate them. And as you can see on the screen, that I promised a kiss for everybody. I will go beyond that and add a hug to it. So, ladies, come and be entertained. Thank you very much. Hope to see a crowd there. 12 o'clock at Fong's on Wednesday.
So I have two small things. Number one, today is a day for worship at Ocean View. It's at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Ocean View Manor is down on Caldwell Road. If you're interested in seeing what's involved and what it's all about, come on down. It's going to be in the auditorium on the first floor, 2 o'clock. Second, I'm part of the dinner theater again this year, and as being so, excuse me, guys, for not being at rehearsal this afternoon because I'm leading worship at Ocean View, but I'm looking to all of you people and trying to do y'all a favor. We need old things. I thought I'd pause there, that theatrical pause. Barn boards. I need an old door, 36-inch or 32-inch wide, doesn't matter. Just an old door. I need a countertop. If you have a butcher block, length of butcher block countertop, anything like that, I need that because it is myself, with Ron's help, with Don's help, we build the set. And just going out there and buying it doesn't seem to make sense when I know that there are garages and sheds that need to be rid of these items. So I want you to approach me to talk to me about what I need, and we'll go to take it from there. The other item that we need is we need a half a dozen or so Stetsons, 10-gallon hats, cowboy hats. So if you have any kicking around home and you want to lend it to the dinner theater cause, put your name on the inside of it. You'll get it back in May. As far as the barn board and the door and the, if you don't want it back, don't put your name on it. Thank you.
Like a family, our gifts for mission and service create safe spaces where people can come together as family. Bissell Center in Edmonton is one of those places. The stories in today's Minute for Mission were first shared on its blog. Bissell Center offers people living on the margins food, shelter, and a feeling of belonging. Most people who visit the center can immediately tell that the people there have a special bond with one another. Diane, a longtime volunteer, describes the connection she feels. When I don't come, I miss the people in the drop-in center. They're always stopping us and talking to us, she says. It's like a family. The phrase like a family is often used by staff, volunteers, and especially the participants themselves. Here are some of the ways Bissell Center has shaped people's sense of family. Kayla shared that Bissell Center has given us a sense of belonging, tradition, and foundation to start from. The staff has encouraged us to grow and always gives us something to look forward to. Judy says, I don't know what I would have done without all of the staff at Bissell Center. Look, now I am sitting in my own home. I consider all of the staff to be my family. The community at Bissell Center has grown and changed for over 100 years, thanks in part to the support you have provided through Mission and Service. If Mission and Service is already a regular part of your giving, thank you so much. If you have not given, please join me in making Mission and Service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
Thank you, Cindy. With those words in our ears and God's love in our hearts, we present our gifts and offerings. these gifts, O God, brought forward in these plates, these gifts that are offered through par, these gifts that are the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, we ask your blessing upon them, that they might bring love to our world. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you. Seated. We pause for a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Holy One, in whom we live and move and have our being, you come to us in the most unexpected ways and unexpected places in our lives. Sometimes we're traveling through life's journey at such breakneck speed in these modern days that we forget, or we don't pay attention, or we're unaware of the places in which we encounter you and your Spirit. We sometimes have become so enamored by the scientific and the rational and the explainable that we have sometimes denigrated the mystical, the unknowable, and those thin places in our lives. Help us to find balance. Help us to embrace those things that are the wonders of science and knowledge and technology, and let us hold them in balance with the mystical, the things that cannot be quantified or qualified, that must simply be experienced. We cannot begin to qualify or quantify the experience of Jesus' followers on the mountaintop. We cannot begin to explain why the gospel writers record Jesus glowing. But we can understand the need and the desire that we all share to feel your presence, to see your face, to feel the light, the glow, the warmth of your love. And in this time of prayer, O God, we open ourselves specifically to those things. To the light of your love that draws us out into the world, that asks us to step into the thin places, to reach out beyond who we are and who we think ourselves to be, to go beyond and to offer the hand of friendship, to stand up against ridicule, to protect the health, the well-being, the stability of the other, to even extend the hand of grace to those who we believe would wish to hurt us. It's a hard place to go, but it is the place your Spirit draws us. It draws us out into our own community here in Cole Harbor, in the parts of Dartmouth, HRM, to which we reach out through offerings to our food bank, to Hope Cottage, to the nursing homes and care facilities, to which we go and volunteer and be a part. Those places of love and care that we bring, those moments of holiness and acceptance, the invitation to the stranger who walks through our door for no reason at all but to be with the people of God. For these things we are thankful. And we recommit ourselves to hearing your voice calling us to those places. We open ourselves to the difficult places within each one of us, those dark places that we want to hide, the corners of our lives that we just want to retreat into, not encounter the world around us. You send us a family of faith here at Cole Harbor Woodside to reach out a hand, to draw us out, to show us your love, to hold us when we need to be held, to cry with us when we need to cry, to laugh with us when we experience moments of joy. Be with us and continue to inspire us to go further and deeper and grow closer to one another. Be with us as we hold one another in prayer. Today we hold in our hearts Willie and Dorothy and Peter, Gary and Zida, Gail and Millie. We offer prayers for Simon, Glenn, Eric, Floyd, Jean, Faith, and Gary. For Carolyn, Neil, Matilda, David, Audrey, Sean. These we name, and there are so many others. We hold them in our hearts and in our prayers, knowing that you are faithful, God, to hear our prayer and to move us into places of help. We pray for ourselves, that in the places we are hurting, we might find the balm. Places where we are able to experience joy, we might share that with others. In those places where we question and challenge, we might walk together into new ways of knowing and being. Our prayers this day we offer through the name of Christ, in whom Jesus dwelt and was. In Jesus' words, we pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our closing hymn this morning, 642, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
So as we go from this time in this place, may we go out into the world, finding those thin places where God reaches out to meet us and we reach out to touch the holy. And when we find those places, may we share that light, life, and love with those we encounter in Christ.